tuning into the online broadcast network, AfterBuzz TV. Over 20 million weekly downloads in over 150 countries and your number one source for after-show entertainment. TV, the destination for TV superfans, producing aftershows for over 300 of your favorite TV shows, interviewing celebrities and showrunners, and bringing you behind-the-scenes exclusives. All thanks to E! Entertainment's Maria Menounos, producer Kevin Undergaro, and internet leader Akamai. Now, let the buzz begin!
Okay, welcome everybody. Thank you for joining us for another AfterBuzz TV After Show for Downton Abbey. This is the final series.
Yes.
And we're in episode 7 here. Lots to cover, lots to cover. I'm John Comerford, joined in the studio by Tamara Burr.
Hey, everybody.
And Courtney Stewart.
Hello, hello.
And also a bottle of Cabernet.
Yes.
So that's who's joining us this week. From a little bit of a sabbatical.
We found the corkscrew.
Exactly. All right, so I was excited. We've had a lot this year. We've had a fox hunt this year. We've got this particular episode. We got the car race.
Yes.
And that was kind of exciting. I really wanted to start with that because I wanted to just acknowledge David Evans and then Graham Frake, who David was the director and Graham was the DP on this.
Mm-hmm.
I love their shots.
It was beautiful.
Wasn't it?
Yes.
It was beautiful.
Yeah, and okay, so you guys geeked out on the costumes. I thought the cars were amazing.
Go for it, John.
Yeah.
I can talk about the pretty colors.
You can have
the
paint
job.
Yeah.
I enjoyed the cars and that they like run to them to get into them.
Yeah.
And that was exciting.
I thought that was such an interesting little add of texture.
Yeah.
Added texture.
It's like cross country meets race cars, all kinds of great.
Well, I thought a number of these, they spent the money for the cars, though, so they showed them off. At least they, mm-hmm. They covered them well, so you got to see them. And then they had great aerial shots, the drones or whatever. And I'm going, I just like that they're doing things like that. And then I thought it was edited well because it was really sharp. Mm-hmm. The music was great. I'm going, wow, this is quite exciting for Downton Abbey.
Good job.
At least one of our viewers was like, oh my God, that shooting was so awful.
I can't remember.
Yeah, they just didn't like it.
Oh.
But
I can see that, but I'm just saying for Downton, it was like, oh, that's whenever we do one of those, when we're out the Fox Hunts or whatever, they do try to cover it as best they can. I thought they did a good job.
And you might as well. You've got beautiful English countryside. Oh my God, I've had like 3 sips.
Yeah.
but one of the things I wanted to mention was... I completely forgot.
Yeah, and it's 3 sips in.
Oh,
all right.
My God.
Okay, but before we even got to
the James Bond music. The James Bond music.
You had mentioned that.
But
they didn't have it in this one.
They did. It was the same music.
Was it?
It was the same music. And it seemed really out of place before.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm glad that they brought it back because, then it gave it a little context. But I still didn't enjoy it. Yeah, it was just a little much for me.
That's great.
I liked it. I thought it was good.
I enjoyed it.
So, but before we got there, we got the reactions. Henry, kind of a bold move. He invites the Crawleys.
Yes, he did.
And, of course.
Over to Brookline.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. And Lord Grantham and Tom are agog. They can't wait to go. And,
Tom, agog. I swear, was practically drooling.
Yeah, he really wanted to go.
He was so happy.
Yeah, exactly.
And he got to touch the cars and, do things.
And
he felt all special.
Put a wrench in one of them.
And they were like, we're going to have to keep you. And he's like, ooh, don't tempt me. It's so cute.
Mm-hmm.
It's really precious.
It was really cute. And...
really precious.
I mean, think about it. It's kind of the perfect combination for him.
Yeah.
Going from, mechanic to aristocrat and aristocratic mechanic.
Kind of, yeah.
There you go.
Aristocrat, yeah, sure, I know.
And nice little new lady.
It's great. And, he's even said that to Laura, the editor.
Yes.
Said that, she's not the one with breaking
perky
ground.
Perky and kind and how they end up walking alone together.
Mm-hmm. Interesting.
Look how cute they look together.
Oh, lovely.
That's great. And it was, okay, so we had everybody's different reactions. Cora did not want to go, didn't want to pack clothes for it. Mary was reluctant. Edith didn't care as long as Bertie was there. So we have everybody, for different reasons. But they all got to go because it's Mary's new boyfriend.
It's Mary's new boo.
Yeah. So they go, and then they show up, and I thought that was interesting, too, because then they have, apparently there's a spread there, which they don't usually have. They just have a greasy sandwich and a soda pop or whatever it is.
Spread.
Yeah.
Quite a spread. With, like,
finger sandwiches.
To
and
the
so
finger sandwiches.
And
that's how the fancy people live.
Mm-hmm. But that was fun to see, and it was good to see everybody show up there. I was surprised that Edith invited Laura, the editor, but you have to meet the family.
And I think maybe they're setting up for Tom to have a romance.
Yeah, I thought that's what they were doing. Absolutely.
What, the one more episode that we have?
Who knows? We
don't
movie.
You start with that.
Yeah. You think she's going to die, ladies? Is that usually your prediction?
No. Okay, we'll talk about death in a little while.
Yes, we will. All right, but... So I thought the beauty shots were great.
Right.
Anyway, mm-hmm. but and I also liked the way they handled the crash. They showed it off camera, yeah. which is
Thank
terrific.
You. That was so glad you brought
Please
that
up. Do not ruin any of those cars.
Yeah. Well, first of all, can't afford it.
Yeah,
and
exactly.
Second of all, you don't want to see that.
No. And,
you know, but,
yeah,
but the other thing that I thought was great about that was how fiery that crash
yes.
was. I mean, you know, there's very, even sure. still with race cars, there's very little around the yeah, drivers, but
then.
Now we have, you know, Nomex suits and things
yeah.
like
yeah.
that.
Yeah, exactly.
But yeah, these guys in like goggles and a jumpsuit.
Yeah.
You know, and the fire extinguisher, which was like the no worst, bigger
that's
than
what
this wine bottle.
It was literally that big. It was like, like the things you get when you're a kid, like playing in the
not,
yard.
Not even a super shooter.
I literally wrote worst fire extinguishers ever.
But that's what they had. That's what made it so exciting. So and then especially when it happened and Tom right away, Bertie, come with me, and Mary, you stay here, and you know all that
I
stuff.
Must
yeah.
go.
Yeah, I loved yeah. that moment of the scene because it's incredibly you know, energetic and lively, and you're scared, and who is it going to be? And everybody like fell into place, and we got to mm-hmm. see who they were. So Mary was like, I can't stay.
Yeah. Yes,
right.
And what about Edith trailing out, chasing after
yeah, Mary?
Yeah, like,
yeah,
well, that was a nice
like,
little moment.
Because
well,
she has a soul.
Yeah. Yeah.
Mary is the one that's been questionable.
Yeah. And Lord Grantham ready to go. Oh, you're not going anywhere, buddy.
Yeah, I love Cora. Yeah, yes. Hold your horses,
yeah,
man.
Nice.
Anna running to
Anna
go
ran.
Because
oh.
she's got to go take care of Mary. Because she knows, because uh-huh. she's her closest confidant, and
but
and
Bates not being able to because now he has his limp.
His
back.
Limp doesn't work.
Yeah,
yeah. yeah now so. He's limping again.
Yeah, yeah. So, yeah of course, yeah. and Baxter has to chase after. So, but it was you know again
but,
it was
but
nice to know.
The moment that like really caught me was Anna saying, "Never mind, I have to go."
Right. Mm-hmm.
I was like.
But I also really appreciated Henry diving into the fire, just
yeah,
trying to save his friend.
He's trying to pull his friend out of the car.
And then having to pull him out.
And I was like,
out.
Please don't let the car blow up.
Yeah, did anybody for a second think that he was really going to be hurt? Of course it had to be, you know,
Charlie,
because you can't kill another love interest in a car wreck.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, yeah. yeah, it would just be, that would be yeah.
but it was
cliche.
Still kind of, still,
I was thinking maybe he would get, like, burned up, and then she would have to love him anyway and see how that worked out.
I'm going to say
of course,
no.
Courtney went there. It's either death
Being
or
that
mayhem.
She could drop him in his exactly. emotional state. If he was burned up, she would definitely drop
All right.
him.
The moment with Edith and Mary,
yeah.
you know, when they clutched each other, it was so short. Sweet. But in that incredibly short moment, it was mm-hmm. really touching, right?
Mm-hmm. So it made you think that.
Then we saw the coming.
Saw
yeah, exactly. yeah, I was going. Should I go there now? Well, yeah, we can't avoid it because she's a.
We Ooh. All saw the coming up.
Exactly.
Wait.
A scheming bitch.
Scheming bitch.
Scathing words.
Yes.
About a scheming bitch. Okay, but anyway. But prior to that.
Nasty, jealous.
Nasty, jealous.
Scheming bitch.
Yeah, so we know that's coming up next episode. But it was nice to have those moments, and even as fleeting as they are, it does show something.
Don't you agree, though, as a writer-director? Mm. You know, John's a writer-director. You know, in like 10 seconds, they showed each person.
Yeah, it was nice.
You know,
really
and
good.
Identifying who they are and what they're about.
Yeah, and catching it all, too, because it would have been easy not to have those moments because we don't have time, but they took the time to do it, so I appreciated that.
Really liked it.
Yeah.
Really liked it.
It also set up, you know, the whole thing with... Mary and Henry. Now, obviously, you know, she was reluctant to go, but she went.
Yes.
And of course, you know,
right.
for many reasons. Tom prodding her all along. So then this horrible event happens, and of course, Henry's feeling, he's distraught, he feels guilty, you know, it's my
guilt.
Fault, yes, did I push him, and you know, I thought Mary was terrific in that scene.
I did
she
too.
Did great.
Yeah,
she
of course she pushed,
soul.
But he pushed you, yeah, exactly.
We pushed each other, that's what you guys do, and it's okay, it was great.
Right, yeah, because, I mean, great. Quite frankly, you know, she's an incredibly pragmatic woman, she's been through a lot in her life, you know, everybody, in that time, death is kind of a reality.
As opposed to that,
well,
but you mean more so?
Okay. Yes, because just because of medicine.
I see what you're saying. Yeah, sure.
People did not live to be 101 back then.
Mm-hmm. Unless you're
Violet.
Will never die. Of course, but I hear what you're saying. Yeah, you know, she was fabulous in that scene. It was well written and it was nicely performed. And then the tragedy of the back at dinner at Rosamund's house. By the way, let's not forget he shows up early to Rosamund's the first time, and he shows up early because he's trying to make an impression and say he wants everybody to tell her you'd be mad to let him go,
right?
And all that stuff. And then of course, she's just beside herself with this because it's. You know, and I thought Tom was terrific in the scene, but let's get to the fact that he calls in the and just wants to hear her voice because he wants to, because I can't sleep until I know where we stand, and she, boom, breaks it
right,
up.
Because he had that, you know, moment of revelation, a moment of clarity.
Sure. Mm-hmm. After as that death often does.
Coming close to dying himself.
So she clearly was thinking something in prior scene back on the racetrack.
Yeah, let's not go into any of that stuff now.
So, and Tom does this whole thing about, you know, you're just frightened, as we all are. You're afraid of, you know, getting hurt again, and you're going to be hurt. I'm going to be hurt because I'm being hurt is part of life. But that's no reason to throw away the man is right for you. So, do you accept that Tom is right? Is it all just because you're being frightened, or is she just being pragmatic? That we, you know, because Anna says, "I don't think your lives fit together." Is it just because she's scared, or is she just being pragmatic?
Both. Mm-hmm. I think it's both, because I think she is definitely scared to death, especially after seeing all that again.
And she couldn't even eat.
She couldn't think. It's going to be terrible. But then again, at the same time, like, to give him the no, like, in that moment.
Yeah. Well, she tried not to. She didn't want to do the thing. She didn't want to do it on the phone. But
you still, like, if you were just lost and, I'm afraid, I don't know how this is going to work, blah, 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 then maybe she would have kept putting it off.
Yeah, true.
But to just be like, you know what? I know you're down. You just lost your friend. You're probably thinking about suicide yourself in some ways.
Look, the Band-Aid's already ripped off. You might as well rip the rest of
him. She just, like, stuck the stake in his heart. Like, I don't know.
Add a little more to his scotch glass, you know, he'll be fine.
Make him jump off a bridge, why don't you? So I feel like that part of it was her back in her pragmatic brain. Like, isn't going to work. Like, there's no way. But I'm just going to go ahead and be honest.
I would agree to that. But then they had that moment with Tom, and then you saw her. She didn't look pragmatic at all. She looked completely, I thought she was just scared out of her mind and did not want to have to experience what it might happen. And I thought that,
because she's been through it
so hard before. But it didn't seem pragmatic when he starts talking to her, because I think she was held up, you know, she was trying to hold it together, but really I think it was just she's just scared.
I just want to say Nicole Wolk, who is one of our YouTube followers, said, I think Mary's in one relationship with two men, meaning Henry and Tom.
Oh, sure.
Okay. So Henry is the man that she's emotionally connected to, romantically connected to.
I think romantically.
And Tom is the person who she's kind of partner with. Right. I mean, because she's literally partners with him.
Absolutely.
You know, and
has let down her guard with him and really been vulnerable with him. And
exactly.
Emotionally connected. Exactly. They've both had the loss.
Right. So some people are still saying that they think there's going to be a Brary. Branson and Mary.
They've just played up the brother-sister thing too hard, because that would be way
incestuous.
Done it when he first came back and, like, whatever, but now they've had so many great moments of, like, brother-sister-sibling moment. Oh, yeah, I'm here for you. No, it'll be gross.
Well, and I would like to say that I think that part of the reason why Tom wants him with her is for his own interests, you know?
Yeah. Like Tom wants
Mary with Henry.
To some degree, I would agree, but I think maybe 10%, because I really do think he has Mary's best interests.
But I think it's clouded a little bit, is what I'm saying. Because
it's comfortable for him, too.
It's comfortable for him. And I'm not suggesting that he's, you know, all like...
No, he's not scheming. He's not scheming.
No, but...
Interesting. And it also justifies his relationship.
Yeah. He's got a boy crush on Talbot, you know? I mean, his, like, goofy grin about, can I go? Can I touch your car?
And the arguments he's been making, it really solidifies and justifies his relationship with Sibby, which was real and concrete and all that kind of thing. But also, there's a part of me that I'm going, does she ever going to get the way she is with Tom is the way she can be with these other guys, so she can actually have a full relationship?
So even if she gets it here, it's not always all over, because she's still Mary, queen of the castle, and like, he's not... He drives a car and almost died.
He's not Matthew. Nobody's going to be Matthew.
And what is he going to do now? Chicken. He's going to keep driving? Like, we've already seen the death. And if he doesn't drive, then what is he going to do? Does he have a job? Like, what else can he do?
Right.
What difference does that make?
So that makes him less of a catch. Even less of a catch. He was already concerned about it.
Let's be honest. She said she doesn't want to marry down. But there's no way she was going to marry because she wants to be the queen of the castle. She doesn't want somebody that's...
She just wants somebody on her level.
Yeah, I'm not sure I believe that. I think she really does want to be...
in charge of everything. Yes. Well, she can still marry somebody on her level and be in charge of everything.
Yeah, well...
We all know how that works.
So, okay. All right, well, we won't solve that. I'm sure we'll have some interesting comments about that.
Probably a more
absolutely.
Already.
But let's move on because we have lots to cover. And we have Edith and the birdie. And the,
I'm sorry, just one more thing
that
Nicole said.
Sure.
So she says, if Fellows had given all the Tom and Mary scenes to Mary and Talbot, we would be swooning over them as a couple.
Oh, sure. Yeah. But that's that's kind of my point is when is she going to learn how to do that with somebody that she actually has a romantic interest in?
Right.
Because she's always, you know, holding that side.
Yeah, pushing people.
Died.
So get that part of her
is still wounded and still delicate.
You are a cold-hearted bastard, John.
No, but my point is, yes, of course you have to get over that. Because I agree with Tom. You're going to have hurt. You're going to have pain. Who doesn't know that?
That doesn't make it easier to step over the line and put yourself out there again.
It kind of does when it's been 6 years.
Yeah, that's my point. Let's start to be brave again.
Don't quote me on the years. Don't send me emails. I know I've got it wrong, all right?
It's just in theory.
It's been a while. It's been a while.
Yeah,
but, you know, she sees her little baby every other day. And that reminds her every other day that she used to love somebody.
And the other thing is that, and I've talked to actually friends who've been through this, that Matthew died in the gorgeous bloom of their love.
Sure.
There was no, you know, you annoy me the way that you grind your teeth at night. You know, they hadn't been through that stuff.
Wait, what are you talking about?
Nothing. so they hadn't been through any you know, of those kind of long-term marital rough patches that people have.
It was still magical.
Other people have, not me. And so it was still all magical and everything's idyllic.
Right.
And so the past memory of it is something it was already hard to match and it's quadruply hard to match at this point because
clearly.
She's got that, you know,
I can't argue that point. I think you're absolutely right.
And
I'm
she's
still
been marinating
going.
In that for 6 years
and
this
or
like, beautiful
that,
fantasy.
That's kind of the point.
Been.
Stop marinating. Move on.
Well, she wasn't really allowed to do very much. She only got to have one little fling with somebody. It's not like it's 2015 and she goes
around.
Wait,
we've had how many suitors have we had where she could have?
A bunch.
Yeah.
Plenty.
So, all right. So
but they were ugly.
That's the other point that I wanted to make about Tom is that, you know, his big argument for Henry is that he adores Mary. Mm-hmm. Quite frankly, she could throw a rock and find people
who
would
adore
her.
Which is still kind of beyond me. It's like, why? What the hell?
Because she's fabulous. Yeah.
She is fabulous.
No. She has moments of fabulous. That's about as much as I can say. I wouldn't call
she's
her fabulous.
Fabulous and elusive and all that sexy stuff that you men like.
Yeah, no.
Exactly.
No. That's just trouble.
All right. Move it along, John.
Obviously not John. No,
get over yourself. All right. Anyway, moving on.
Move it along.
So Edith and Birdie. I thought that was interesting because here, after this horrible thing happens, they're lying together. I thought it was a nice, nicely blocked
and
stage tableau.
Off.
Oh, and that dress.
Yes.
Okay, did you notice the dress this time, John?
Only because you guys have alerted me to these things.
Attention.
Now I was like, oh yeah, that is nice. Otherwise, it would have gone. Yeah, would not have been.
It was the kind of thing Mary would have worn in the past, and now Edith is wearing it.
But that was
gorgeous.
A very difficult scene too, because you know, it is tragic, and but she feels, and I love the words she used. She felt with his arm around her. She feels. Comfortable, which to me harkens back to the automatic feeling she had last.
Yes.
Which talked to the other, so I thought that was a nice callback to that. But I understood that is that you know it's been a sad, wretched event, and because you're here with me, I've been able to face it. It's like okay, and of
you
course
and me against the world.
Yeah, there's that thing, and then he just says, "I want to be in
part
prison,
of this family,
trapped. Yes. I want to be trapped."
Right,
and
trapped.
He proposes. It's like, whoa, that is a weird proposal.
He's like, "What do you mean? You know I'm mad about you."
Yeah, she's thrilled. She's delighted.
Girl.
Yes.
And she's surprised.
Yeah,
she's
not
surprised.
The kind of girl
not
that
the
men
kind of girl
go,
that men are mad
go mad
about.
Over.
It's
true. But, and
well, then you should marry him.
Yes.
Yes.
And finally, he says something about Marigold.
Can I bring her along?
Just one little catch.
I got a little
one
little
catch. Yeah.
And he's that Ward word. Can she be the like family? I don't know.
That's what they call them.
You want to bring your ward, your family's ward?
Mm-hmm,
well,
mm-hmm.
I'm the only one that likes her. That's the excuse.
So that's gonna, you know, obviously that's gonna be the wrinkle
it's
there because she's still not fessing up to what everything is.
And then he brings up more kids.
Okay, so the question is, will she say the whole truth, or do you think she's gonna wait until after they're married and then say,
Mary's gonna say the whole
exactly.
truth?
You think that's
why
what's
she's a rich bitch?
So I think what they're setting up is that Edith thinks she's going to say something, and that's why she says all those horrible things. But I don't think Mary's going to say anything.
Interesting.
I don't think Mary's going to tell. We'll Even though the whole Pamuk thing, and she had, and let's face it, Edith did a horrible thing that almost derailed Mary's life.
Right.
And she, you know, if you want to believe in retribution,
she did it. It just got intercepted.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I'm saying. It almost derailed.
Yeah. You said almost.
No. She did it, but yeah, it almost it, derailed Mary's life. And if you want to believe in retribution, then yeah, I guess turnabout's fair play, and she has every right to do it. I don't.
But that wouldn't
prescribe
fit Mary's
that.
Path.
Nobody sitting at this table believes in
no.
that.
No, but I just don't think Mary will. I don't think Mary will. I think at this point she'll realize no, because I think at some point she's going to realize that that took a lot for Edith to do, and to maintain and to keep as her own daughter. And I think she'll see the courage in that. And I don't think she's going to give up that.
You know, it's so interesting because we get both sides of actually every color of the spectrum with these two women. Right. And, you know, that Mary is irredeemable.
Yeah.
That, you know, Edith is irredeemable and the whole spectrum. And people
sisters.
Give, right. And people give really compelling Dames. Comments. Thomas is irredeemable. Yeah. All of them.
Yeah.
You know, and then they give really great support to you guys.
Each argument.
Yes.
Give great support to your arguments. And but I like this idea that Mary kind of has a little crack in her heart and may actually have some compassion. And
oh, she'll want to. Yeah. She'll, but I think, I just don't think she will. But for not just for Edith's sake, but I'm sure that'll bring scandal upon the family and all that other stuff. But I think that at the end of the day, she won't do it because it will cause, it's the only possibility for Edith's happiness that she sees, and she won't want to rest.
Well, but the other thing is that are you condemning Marigold to a terrible life if you start letting it out?
She's just a ward. Who cares?
Oh, my God.
Well, maybe Edith will bring it up, like, later in life, once you've been married for a while, and she starts to look just like her.
So do you think she'll say everything to him or
him?
No? Before she says yes. The whole thing, like, okay, the reason why I couldn't say yes before is because of this, and if you're still, after this, you still want to get married, we will. Or do you think she won't because she doesn't have the courage to do
it? With one episode left before the Christmas special, I think that she will tell him before they get married. Yeah. They will briefly break up, and by the end of the episode, they will be engaged.
And make it all sweet.
Or they won't be engaged until the Christmas episode. They may hold that.
There has to be a wedding.
I know, they'll have a wedding. But it'll.
In two hours, you can get from an engagement.
Sure, I think you can. But that way, we'll have that suspense about will they get back together or not.
I'll drink to that.
So, but I agree with Tamara on that.
Of course.
That was my thought as well.
What do you think?
I think she will tell him. I think he'll freak out a little bit.
I think she definitely has to tell him. I think it would be uncharacteristic of the times if he doesn't freak out a little bit.
Yeah, he'll have to freak out.
And so I feel like he has to freak out.
Agreed. But I mean, remember when he saw Marigold sleeping in the room, he said, God bless you, Marigold.
Oh, sure, but that's because that ain't his.
He doesn't have to deal with that.
That's some other man's love child.
That's not, my beautiful, precious Edith, who I think is a virgin spinster, slutted it up and had a baby. Like, that's a different perception.
But if you look at it from even a larger perspective, you know, poor Edith was in love.
Sure.
You know, accidents happen.
Yeah.
And the father of her baby, the man she loved, died nobly.
Right.
You know, fighting the brown shirts and having, you know, having a tragic death. And then Edith also acting nobly rescued the child.
So he'll come to terms.
Yeah, I think he'll come to terms with that. He'll realize that. But it's going to be a huge shock. And the betrayal of not telling me ahead of time and how many times I thought we trusted each other. I mean, all that
of
stuff.
Of course,
he's got to get over all that.
They do in like minute three and then minute 15 in a sitcom.
Yeah, exactly.
Exactly. Suddenly it all works
crazy.
Out.
Now, that being said, I could absolutely see her not saying anything and having the wedding being going on, and he learns just before
the wedding.
It's like,
by the way. Ooh. Okay, I have a crackpot prediction from Gator 555 that there's something not right in the head about Marigold, so to speak. We've seen her actually smile once when Mrs. Drew was talking to her. Other than that, they treat her like a prop. Just watch the way they carried her around when she was abducted. She was nonplussed through the whole thing. I predict she's going to end up in an asylum somewhere with Mrs. Carson's sister.
Okay.
Not Elise. Elsie's sister. The controversy that gives Birdie pause won't just be that she's a bastard. It will be that she is a dark family secret.
Oh, wow. Okay. All right. Okay. Nice. So there you go, right?
We'll see. Way to go, Gator,
reaching into the, recesses.
See, people think about these things.
All right.
Well, maybe that's what actually happens is that, like, they are going to do, like, a shotgun wedding all quick, and nobody knows, and Mary somehow, he overhears Mary talking about the baby.
Moments before walking down the aisle.
And Edith thinks that she did it on purpose, and she didn't, and then they have this whole altercation, and it ends, and then by the so that's how we end next week, and then the finale is somehow them,
coming,
like,
to their senses for
figuring
a
that out. For a real wedding.
I don't care. I want you.
Because she's like,
everything
I'm old,
that comes with you.
Even your child.
Even your love child. Slowly touching the hedgehog.
But truly, I mean, I think that's an interesting prediction, you know, depending on how large they want to make it. But she doesn't ever speak, and she has kind of
that. Yeah, we don't really hear about the other kids don't really speak either, so it's not like we know about
but
the
But they call grandma Donk.
Yeah, we've gotten more, like, animated activity from them.
It doesn't matter. Yeah. Uncle Julian will let us know when he wants us to know. This is my...
And sometimes not.
And sometimes
all right,
not.
So,
hello, green.
Yeah, thank you. Let's move on to Violet.
Or even worse, Coil.
I thought this was nice. Violet is trying like crazy to get over her ousting. You know, she's licking her wounds and she has to leave the country to do
She's going to go to France.
How are things in my former kingdom?
And I like that she says, when I get angry, I say things that people have difficult times forgiving.
And the fact
she's aware.
Yeah. The fact that she even agreed or revealed that she was angry, I thought was kind of big of her.
Was big of her, yeah.
And
so she fought the good fight, and she lost.
That scene between, well, all of the scenes, but especially that first scene between Violet and Isabel was back to, like, we're buddies again, right?
It was so good.
And I love that. And then
talking about Crookshank.
And not only buddies again, but she's going to go do a song
for her. She's going to find out what's going on over here.
Leave it to me. Tough nut to crack. I'm a tough nut crack.
Yep. There you go.
That's a great, line.
So, and then let's go to Crookshank. So we see her, and I thought it was great that, you know, last episode, obviously Violet had a lot on her mind, but when Crookshank was running the number, like, oh, I'm trying to be all friendly and stuff, I think she sensed something then. It seemed like she did, and it wasn't just because she was preoccupied with the whole hospital thing. I think she sensed something. She even mentioned it to Isabel when they were talking.
Violet is a super smart cookie. Yeah. She always has been. Yeah. She's always, I mean, we've talked about it in past series, how she can see the scheming behind the scheming
it's
in
because
people.
Because once you've done you can see it.
Exactly.
She's done them all.
She's the queen.
She's a tough nut cracker. Yes.
And I thought it was interesting when she goes to meet, she doesn't announce herself ahead of time. She just shows up, which is great. Put her off.
Sends people running.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Puts her off for a game.
Yep.
And you know, the friendliness of Crookshank was already immediately
kind of gone. Nobody's always friendly.
And even, there's that too. But Crookshank was knew something was up, and she wasn't as friendly this time. And then and she just picks it apart. She prosecutes the whole conversation, and you know, she realizes what's up.
So basically,
you just want Lord Merton out of your way.
A nurse.
Gonna spoil your fun.
Yes. Which is a side note why I don't think Edith is gonna end up married. Because I feel like the wedding is actually Lord Merton
and Isabel.
And Edith and gonna end as poor Edith.
No. That's really interesting. I think that's a good theory. But I'm going to, would we be as excited about that wedding as we would be about Edith? What do we think?
I mean, I wouldn't personally, because I think it'd be much more attractive if it's Edith's wedding.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I want to see that. Yeah. But I could see them making
Because we've already seen one Edith's wedding. We don't need to see another.
Exactly. It's already happened. And she's sort of like put herself in a position where she's almost doomed to be unhappy because she's got this baby and he's got to accept it. So it would make sense. Because why else is this whole Crookshank thing? Like, who cares about Lord Merton, really? Right. Like, why is all this even a thing right now? Is he really going to just leave that hanging out there?
That's a good argument. Why bring this back into the
fold? Yeah.
Why introduce Crookshank if we're not going to follow
Isabel and Isabel's entertaining it. Like, she's not like, oh, no, I would not. She's just uncomfortable. Yes, like, she's entertaining the whole thing.
And Violet even says your decision's even harder now because before you didn't want to come between son and father, and now between his isolation and being thrown to the wolf.
Yeah,
exactly.
So why is this an issue?
Violet, my favorite line of Violet's from that moment was, I feel sorry for Larry if I didn't dislike you so much.
I thought it was I disliked him so much.
Him so much. Sorry, him. Sorry, him. It says him right here.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah. But she clearly does not like Crookshank either because, we're going to bound to run into each other. No, not unless
not
they
see you first. And I expect they'll have to drag you out with your fingernails catching on the door case. That is a visual
combo.
And Crookshank was just a little out of relief. She's trying to hold her own by saying,
I
think we should end that here because the next thing you say might be awkward the next time you meet. I thought it was almost. You're getting there. Mm-hmm. You're getting there.
You're close. You'll be that.
You are messing with the master, my friend.
Yeah, you are with the master. Don't mess with the master.
And that was fun to see. And was it a surprise that she took off? It was kind of a surprise. Like, where are they going on this? Why is Uncle Julian?
I think she's
going
to die.
You think she's going to die?
That's my death prediction of the week.
Thank you.
Courtney. I think she's going to die away somewhere.
Let's
so
check
we don't
that off the box.
It.
Courtney's made her death prediction this week. We can move on.
That's immediately what I thought as soon as she started talking about, I'm going to go on the boat and I'm going to go hang out in France with the French and, that'll make me miss home.
Does anybody know the historical reference to the Paris and did it sink?
Oh, you didn't. No, it didn't sink as far as I could tell. I did look it up, but I did not find anything. Well, I said to you, what is this a Valhalla moment for Violet?
No.
Is she going off into the sunset?
I don't know. It's either that or they she's got contractual obligations elsewhere.
That was your answer, right?
It was. I was like, no, I don't think they're going to kill her off. I want to see her at the end. I want to see her for the finale. I want her to be as part of that Christmas
thing. I want Violet to have the last freaking snarky comment.
What is the weekend kind of moment?
Exactly. Yeah.
Or it's like, how long can I endure? something about how long she's lived. But so I think, maybe she won't be there for the next episode, just so we can have a nice, fun moment when they bring her back. The Christmas thing. That's what
back.
I think. It's like, what, really? You get, no, you. I don't kill her off.
I don't think you can kill her. I don't think you can kill her.
I mean, rights, she should be dead already.
She should be dead already. By natural causes.
Exactly. But
she's
removing
herself from the situation.
But that would
to
be tragic, and it would be extremely
would be
dramatic.
And then she gave him a puppy at the end
of
the episode.
Yeah, I know.
People,
exactly.
Come on. She's going to die.
One life dies.
She's going to die.
Yeah. It could be.
Sorry, guys.
Courtney.
She's going to die.
Or
maybe she'll
make
it back.
Grim Reaper from now
she
on.
Might be sick and come back and get to see Isabel get married. Isabel get married. And she'll be like, I give you my blessing. And they'll have a great old lady moment at the end.
Sweet. Viewer Imogen sent me an email and basically said that giving the puppy was really manipulative by Violet.
It is.
Of course, yeah, but that's what she is.
Oh, come on, you guys!
Well,
it wasn't genuine kindness.
I think there was some genuine kindness. I think she really loves her son and everything like that. I mean, she would know that this would, he just almost died. This would be a reason to help him live. So, because he loves his dogs.
But so, she's probably hoping they'll feel guilty every time they look at the dog.
Exactly. Of course. Yeah, I don't know that she does anything with absolutely pure intent.
All right, you guys are fine. But I just want to say that was one of my crying moments of this episode.
It was wonderful.
Because,
John
always thinks about everything. I'm like the perfect audience for anybody. Because I just wait for the information to come to me. And, if I'm given enough time, I'll think about it. But basically, it was like, what is the present? What could the present be that they can't bring upstairs? What could the present? And, I thought it was like some dopey farm animal. A new pig for the pen! it didn't even occur to me that it would be a puppy. I don't know why, because I'm...
Because you don't think about it. You just let it happen.
I'm a dopey viewer, because I love to let things be revealed to me. I'd prefer that as opposed to figuring
like
it out.
Surprise.
Yes. And, his face when I just went pew, tears just went like,
and they were like, we don't want to bring him up to the living room, and he picks him up, he's like, I don't care about that, and all I can think is that's because you're not a servant, and if he pees all over the place, they're the ones cleaning it up.
Let the puppy pee on the Reynolds
off of all of those draperies and everything else. Goodness gracious,
of course you don't care.
You don't care at all.
Why would you care?
But it was a wonderfully joyful moment. We needed something. We needed some levity. We already had a death. We needed something.
Who doesn't love a puppy?
Who doesn't love a puppy? If you don't, you're soulless.
Exactly.
The second wife to Amenhotep.
Amenhotep the second.
Oh, all right, so we got keep the Egyptian thing going. So that's nice. Thing.
Keep it going.
Okay, but now the other.
Oh, good gracious! We gotta go.
I know we have a lot to cover. So the other things that I thought were wonderful. I loved the Mosley thing.
Heavy dancing.
Oh my god!
I literally said, "Yay, Mosley!"
Yeah, he gets his thing. I mean, this is after we'll get to the little picnic they had, but just wanted that moment. when Mr. Dawes comes in and he says, you know.
And he laid it on thick.
Oh, it was great.
Smarter than the Oxford graduates.
Yeah, Oxford and Cambridge are smarter than you.
I am impressed with you.
Yeah, you should be proud of yourself.
Yes.
But the reaction, that I just love the reaction that he took. Great job acting
Actor,
on it. When he turned away and you could wipe in his tear and everything. He's not sharing that. It's just.
It was so good.
I mean, imagine. Yeah. He's lived his whole life in service, thinking he was, you know, not articulating like Andy did, that he was stupid. Uh-huh. But you know, I mean, that he's been,
And what he said to Daisy, that he knew that he'd never get to be a butler in a place like this.
Yeah,
which is what he had always aspired to. He was Isabel's, and I mean, the whole thing, and he always wanted it, and got knocked down to footman again.
Yeah. And can't you imagine that this is 100 times, well, 10 times more important to him than being a butler?
Of course.
Is being, all right.
Validated.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. Just for who you are and what you're, you know, what you know, your general knowledge. That's like your basis for everything.
Yeah. And what you care about and what you actually would be doing with your life had you had a better choice.
And I also liked that, you know, last week when he so wanted to be the docent and talk about the pictures and stuff, and he didn't have that moment, but he got this moment.
He got this one.
Yeah.
So that was nice.
Appreciated
of course,
that.
And then coming up, so he's like, oh, of course, yeah. Yeah. Because somebody's going to find out, and they're just going to just deride him. Like
right,
crazy.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Bash him down. Put him back down in his place. Service is ending for most of us. I've just got a head start.
Yeah. Yes.
And then
he's the character that you want him to get a head start.
To get something.
I mean, he's been noble. He's been, you know,
and he got beat down pretty well. What was it? 2 seasons ago? Was that last season when he was like paving the street and couldn't get a job?
I've never thought of myself, or I never think I deserve anything. Perhaps I'm normal after all.
Yeah.
Oh, I thought he said. Well, is that what it was? I thought it was perhaps I'm wrong. Whatever. It's
I thought he said normal, but
same
I
sentiment.
Know. Yeah,
same sentiment.
It is. Yeah.
But it was just a terrific moment. And then we also in that same kind of sequence with when they do the picnic and the Beryl brings the lemonade and stuff like that, and they're all talking about Thomas. I'm sorry, they're talking about Daisy and her tests, and then Andy reveals he can't read. Finally, which is good. I'm glad.
Yeah, it needed to come out.
But
Dawes says, "Well, I can teach you, but Thomas, you need to step back now." And I'm just going, geez, he's just getting the crap kicked out of him.
Push him away.
Yeah.
Push him away.
With Carson earlier in the episode saying, you know, look, I'll be happy when I find out your new employer, all that kind of stuff. And even, you know, Mrs. Hughes having that nice moment Mrs. Carson now.
Mrs. Carson.
Has that nice moment with him saying, look, you'll find something. You'll find the right place.
But and
you'll
he was like, the right
person that you can be friends
here.
With.
Yeah.
And he realizes there are no roots. I mean, because the one good thing he was doing was with Andy trying to help him read, and boom.
It didn't matter.
Didn't matter, because that's going to get taken away now.
Sad.
Which just makes me think, it's going to be him. Either he's going to off himself, or he's just going to leave without saying anything to anybody, and people are just going to go, what happened? What did we do? What drove him up? And I think that's what's going to happen.
But also, nobody would care if he left.
Also,
I think they would care that they might have done something that caused. I think that after he was gone, they would have said, we should have taken more time.
Predictions also that Andy will save Thomas.
Interesting. I like that. That's great. That's nice. That'll be a good moment for them both.
But I mean, think about it. It was just last season that he was injecting himself with that poison and trying to change himself.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, there's been some more, but, you know, other viewers reminded me how
vile,
wretched, and vile. Yeah,
and interesting coming up with Pat Moore in the B&B. So she's doing a great job there. Everything seems to be
going
great. Some guy hanging outside with a camera and a notebook. It's like what?
Okay, I got a prediction.
What the hell is that?
It's that. Oh gosh, I'm going to see if I can try and find out who it is. But anyway, it's somebody who said that Pat Moore's place is a love shack. That people are going and hooking up with prostitutes. Here we go. Imogen. If Mrs. Patmore's B&B is attracting prostitutes and people looking to have extramarital affairs in a low-key environment.
Well, that would make sense, because in the preview, wasn't she like having to like fess up that it was her fault or something?
Because there was a local brouhaha that Carson didn't want to get the family
her
enmeshed
niece.
In.
Right,
or
so there's a guy with
place.
A notepad and a camera.
Mm-hmm. That's a private detective or something of that nature.
Yep.
Yeah.
So, and that could be a great...
Nasty business.
I think that's a great prediction,
I think it's terrific. I think that sounds fabulous. Lastly, before we get into anything, it's Hughes and Carson. Finally, we get the turnabout.
Yay!
Finally, she turns on him. So
he
we get
literally falls asleep at dinner from exhaustion.
I was going to have a heart attack.
Yeah, I like the sweat. He's sweating and everything. yeah. and burning himself and everything. She's just loving it.
I loved it too.
Yeah, and that would have been so hard for her, but just sit there and go, oh, and the bread's in the outside ice chest or whatever it was.
Put the crumble in the oven.
The crumble. Well, this is delicious crumble.
She was eating a lot more than just dinner.
In the water.
Eating it up.
So good. It was about time.
Yeah. Do you think he's going to find out? Or do you think he'll just be more appreciative from now on?
I think he's going to be more appreciative.
We'll find out how that plays out.
You know, we predicted or said that was out of character for Carson to be so critical of her, and a couple of fans agreed with that. So, I'm glad it's back.
Well, here's the thing. I don't know if it was so critical of her. What surprised me is that he was so not aware of her reaction.
Yes.
That's the thing I was talking about.
And
that seemed
out
of character to me,
well.
Not so much, because he is critical,
he would
and that's
be
his
critical,
job.
But he would
but
catch
not of
it.
Her.
Right. That's that, and that he wouldn't be so persistent in it and didn't recognize the feedback he was getting about. Yeah, that part was the part that was really surprising to me. We got
a couple of things. Mary, we have a very contrary daughter.
Very contrary.
Good conversation with them.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Daisy. Daisy and Pat
Moore. Oh, Pat
Moore
has their moment.
Yeah, they did have their
moment.
She
said she hasn't had anything to herself.
Sorry about that.
So.
Right. She was so rude last episode that we could hardly forgive her. But then when she pointed out that, you know, she's hardly had anything of her own.
She thinks she can't share him because, she literally thinks
literally
that love
won't
is
get
fine.
Anything.
All right, fine. We'll give it to you, Daisy.
We'll give it to you.
Still
the hats, the dresses.
Yeah. The hats.
Cora not wearing like boring clothes. She wore that coral color. We loved
she
that.
She did wear a color because she's been kind of boring in her clothes.
Oh, is that right?
Pajamas were beautiful.
They were.
Dresses have been a little drab.
Okay.
Yeah.
But all of their hats were great, especially when they came back from the track and all of that.
Oh,
they
coming
came
home.
To the house.
Everybody
like, they looked great. And those hats
beautiful.
Were fantastic.
Yeah, the hats.
Yeah.
Amazing.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, so we do some news and gossip?
Yeah, quickly. Yeah.
Okay. Thank you. Fans of Lady Mary are disappointed after Michelle Dockery withdrew from a revival of, help me out with this one, Les Liaisons Dangereuses.
I don't know.
Dangerous Liaisons. That was set to open in London's West End in 6 weeks. No explanation has been given for her exit from the show, with speculation being that it was just a scheduling conflict, not anything more, rough than that.
Yeah.
Elaine Cassidy will be taking up the role of Madame de Tourvel in the production. Lily James, a.k.a. Rose Aldridge, a.k.a. Cinderella, has been confirmed to return to Downton Abbey.
We're gonna
pregnant.
Have
and rumors abound that she, Rose, is pregnant.
Is the baby gonna die?
Maybe.
She said
at
it was
the wedding.
Oh my God. It was, she said it was amazing going back after a break. You were just totally re-inspired by the wonder of it. That grand house against the gray skies and all the friends you haven't seen in so long. And then she talked about how I don't know if I would be sitting here if it weren't for Downton Abbey, because it really
changed
my life. I mean, it changed most of those actors' lives.
Yes.
Great interview with
especially
Maggie.
Especially this Maggie Smith.
Maggie Smith.
Yeah.
It really changed
now
her.
We know who she is.
Because
before
then, she
was. Who was she?
Great interview on YouTube that I'll tweet out later, where she is talking about the lady in the van.
Sure.
But how
her
she has a
movie.
Whole new, thank you, her whole new fan base that are quite short people who know her. Mostly
from Harry Potter.
Yeah.
And now all these other people who are appreciating her from
she
Downton
stays
Abbey.
Away from the Americans. She doesn't go anywhere.
No, let's stay where
we are. Because we're great.
Because we're not shy.
Yeah.
Apparently,
we're not.
Yes.
We're bold.
Okay, thank yous. And shout outs. Rachel, Nicole, Tyler, Gator, Annabali, Drake, Bartles27, a.k.a. Pip Spiller, a.k.a. Rick on YouTube.
Wow.
CK Groupie, Melissa Heisler, Katie Bailey, Catherine Smith, Jackie, happy birthday, 1 week late. Imogen and Kathleen Raceler. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, guys.
Thank you
all your
so
tweets
much.
And everything are awesome.
Yeah.
What are we expecting for the final show before the Christmas episode?
Okay,
anything?
First of all, tears.
Tears.
Yeah.
They're going to pile it on.
Yeah.
It's going to be an emotional
because the Christmas
one
is going to be really tearful, but good tearful and warm. And
yeah. Christmas special is going to be 2 hours,
absolutely.
Right?
Yes.
And we can hope. And so we've got 1 hour now.
Yeah.
There's some talk about, and I kind of agree with it, that there's, he's sort of stacking things up to try and solve a lot of problems all at once.
Mm-hmm.
Just don't even address the green thing.
Because
we're too pissed about it.
And is he
going to
do anything with the Baxter thing?
Are we going to fix Coyle? Yes. Can we, is Coyle anything? Like, why is this happening?
Yeah. So,
I don't even know. There are things that we didn't even get to cover today.
There's a lot to cover. We've got somebody else coming in the studio.
We do.
All right. But they'll finish the Baxter thing next week, I'm guessing. She'll go see him, whatever.
And then see if he's still going to hold
exactly.
on her. Whatever the hell that means. Exactly.
I predict an excellent cliffhanger. Better not have anything to do with Green, because I am over it. Julian, don't even try.
Green and Coyle are the same person. He's not really dead.
Don't care. Nice.
Cheers. All right, that's it. We gotta go. So tell them where they can find you.
You can find me on social media at Stuart Starlet.
I am at Tamara Berg on Twitter, and Tamara Central is my website. You guys, thank you.
You can only find me here. We'll talk to you next week. Thanks again for tuning in. Bye bye.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the host only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.